Next, we will hear from Julia Landweber. Julie Landweber is Associate Professor of History and of Women's and Gender Studies at Montclair State University in New Jersey. She received her Ph.D. from Rutgers University. Her most recent publication in French Historical Studies examines the question of how the French adopted Arab Ottoman coffee and reimagined it as their own national drink over the course of the 18th century. She's currently working on a book about the adoption of coffee in France to be called Embracing the Queen of Beans, How Coffee Was Adapted into French Medicine, Fashion, and Diet, 1660 to 1789. Her paper today is titled Making Coffee French, Establishing a Material Culture for Coffee in France, 1670 to 1780. Julie?
Thank you, Elizabeth. When Arabian coffee first came to France in the mid-17th century, it was soon established as more than just a bean or a beverage. Early importers, an eclectic mix of merchants, scholars, and diplomats, brought across the Mediterranean their knowledge of an Arab-Ottoman coffee culture of associated objects, practices, and drinking spaces. In these same years, other Asian import luxury goods were also coming into vogue: Chinese porcelain, Ottoman sofas and robes, and Indian dressing gowns. Soon bundled with coffee in the social imagination, these items became nearly inseparable over the next century. Between 1670 and 1700, scarcity and prohibitive prices led ambitious artisans to create domestic versions of these imports using French resources. Also, starting in 1715, entrepreneurs decided to break Yemen's monopoly on coffee production and develop plantations of their own in the French East and West Indian colonies. While it makes sense that the earliest coffee services manufactured in France would imitate their Ottoman predecessors, and similarly, the first French coffee houses would be based upon foreign models, it is surprising that decades later, after coffee production had shifted decisively to the Caribbean and the café had become a French institution, these Asian themes persisted. Today's presentation, as Elizabeth said, is part of a larger project on the adoption of coffee into old regime French culture and diet. I will argue that in the process of adopting coffee, the French imbued it with an Orientalist culture of their own invention. So this odd little bean arrived bearing an assortment of genuine Ottoman, Chinese, and Arab associations. Once in France, merchants heightened its attractions by linking its use to fantasies of tuquerie and chinoiserie. Over the 18th century, this mélange of concepts, some of them authentic, some of them invented, none of them visibly European, coalesced to transform coffee into a domestic French beverage. In the 17th century, a wealthy, non-aristocratic segment of French society began purchasing goods to assert themselves through taste in new ways. Novel exotic commodities such as coffee and chocolate had the potential to mark the identity of those who consumed them regularly. Importers and craftsmen soon learned that they could persuade customers that in order to fully appreciate coffee, in particular, they needed to buy more than just the beans. Coffee offered consumers a lifestyle combining sensual pleasure and worldliness. Today's brief talk focuses on the question of how consumers learn to adopt coffee into their life practices. And my goal today is to demonstrate that teaching consumers to appreciate these sensations would become the purview from the 1680s onward of the equally new art of persuasive selling. The earliest French texts on coffee, which were published between 1664 and 1716, established that coffee consumption required a complement of Arab knowledge, Turkish cooking utensils, and Chinese porcelain dishes. Between 1680 and 1700, French merchants started to think that a market existed for both imports and domestic knockoffs of these accoutrements beyond court society. Yet it was unclear how makers and sellers of these items, representing a wide range of guilds, might foster sales, not only of such an expensive novelty product, coffee, but of the even more frivolous material culture thought to accompany it. Now, tracing the evolution of old regime French food advertising can be tricky, as relatively few examples have been preserved apart from text-only newspaper ads. While British tea and coffee merchants of the same era were printing vivid trade cards featuring illustrations of Turks and Chinese and pagodas, French coffee merchants mostly did not try to seduce customers with visual reference to their products' exotic luxury import associations. However, I believe that if we broaden our interpretation of coffee advertising to include pitches for